Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
This is a scripture, one of the scriptures in morning prayer. Matter of fact, any of you who would like to learn the joy of the discipline of morning prayer, all you have to do is go on our website, cec-na.org. I think that's right. And there'll be a little tag at the top, daily prayers, and it's all written out for you. You can follow. And that's a common office, so you have millions of Christians around the world that are praying the same thing. Right, dash, cec-na. What's the rest of it? At cec-na. What's the rest of it?
.org.
Okay. You should go on the. For those of you who are part of Christ King, since I became primate, we've done a lot of work to redo that website. And there are prophetic words on there. There are testimonies of people getting healed. There are wonderful articles written about like what the 3SI conference was about. It's really a powerful thing. It's meant to engage not clergy necessarily, but clergy, but lay people all over North America. So they'll feel like they're a part of the CC and they're aware of what's going on. So, this is from 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So I guess he died when he was 39 years old. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah, Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. The New King James says this. I think it's better. And he did right and walked, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of his father. And neither did he turn to the left or to the right. There's a great story in this chapter where, when he was 26, they were restoring the temple. And, of course, there were collections that people gave when they would walk in the temple, they would give, and that money would go to different things. But Josiah sent word by his scribe, the guy who would write stuff for him and do things for him, and to go to the temple and tell the high priest to take all that money and give it to all the workers that were working hard to restore the temple. He said, they should get that money, and said, we trust them with it. And when we went there, the high priest had discovered the book of the law. It had been lost. And he gave it to the scribe and said, take it back to Josiah and show him this. And Josiah, at this point, was 26 years old. He reads the book and he sees what's required from the Lord. Now, this is what his heart was. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he never turned to the right or to the left from that. And he did that from 8 years old. So if the enemy tries to tell you that it's okay that your children, because they're whatever, can't walk this out, that is the enemy. And he was 8 years old and did what was right in the sight of the Lord when he became king. But at 26, when he began to read the book and he saw the things that the Lord said, he realized how much his fathers had not walked in righteousness. And he fell down and tore his clothes and fell down before God and repented. It's a great picture of ancestral sin being repented of in the present generation to break any curses off of him. But I just loved his heart. here's the guy who walked in the sight of the Lord, but just at the idea that those who'd come before them, he saw how bad it was, and he just fell down before the Lord. But when I read that this morning, the word righteous and righteousness has been a really important word for me for some years now. And I'm often taking it out for a spin, trying to explain what righteousness is like, because we have a tendency at times to think of those kind of words, and then it pushes you into a place of performance. But righteousness flows from nature, your nature. And so the problem with us as people before we became Christians, our nature was to walk out unrighteousness. And we were by nature, it says in Ephesians, children of wrath. But when we became Christians, we now partake of the divine nature. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. You have his very nature. And so the desire in you to do what's right in the sight of the Lord is because that's who you really are. The person that turns to the right or to the left is not who you really are. That's the fallenness that God's still healing you from. We're transformed by the renewal of our mind, and the renewal of our mind is discovering more and more who we are in Christ and walking that out. But I've come to conclude that the best way to describe righteousness is to say it represents wholeness and innocence. Like there's innocence about you. You are right with God. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I did this morning or said this morning or thought this morning. That's not the issue. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And you're as right with God as Jesus is. That's the truth about you, because that's who you are. Now, walking in righteousness is a little different, but it's not different. It's not different or odd for you, because that's your nature. It's your nature because it's you're in union with Christ. Therefore, you also have his ability. And so when I read that this morning, it just spoke to me again about a beautiful description of what righteousness is. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's such a simple statement. But when I read that statement, I just sensed the Lord graciously. You know, repentance is like, you ever been really tired at the end of a day? Back in when I was younger, people didn't shower like they do now. Showers are not much fun. You know, it's like you're just in, you're out, it's not much fun. We used to all take baths. Now, baths were not the cleanest thing in the world when you think about it, because when you got out of the water, it was pretty yucky. But nothing felt better than being tired or sore and getting into a really hot bath. Repentance is like that. When God begins to speak to you about something, it's like, oh my gosh, you like this warm or hot, wonderful bath that just makes everything better. Because what he's doing is he's picking off fleas. He's exposing little foxes that are robbing us. Because his passion and desire is that we would walk out all the wonders of righteousness. We would experience in our practice, and our walk, the wholeness and innocence of Jesus. It's a fun thing to walk around with a sense of purity of heart. Now, if we blow it, does he mad at us? Does he get angry at us? Does he condemn us? Does he turn his back on us? Of course not. But wholeness is good. Wholeness is fun. And he's always calling us to walk out the righteousness that is who we are, so we can experience wholeness. And it's like I heard the Lord say, it was so fun, because he began to show me some little things. He said, righteousness is doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. So Jesus is in me, and everything, therefore, is determined by what's right in your sight, oh God. That is really, now that may not strike your fancy as something profound. It was powerful for me. It's a powerful thought. and to not turn to the right or the left. And now I'm able to do that because I'm in Christ by the Holy Spirit. But to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, and to not allow the enemy to deceive me into thinking, oh, I can just turn to the left some, or I can just turn to the right some. Why would you want to? It doesn't manifest wholeness when you do. Why would we be satisfied with that? Why would that be okay? That makes sense. And so we talk about this thing a lot. You can't think, you can't see or think or feel if Jesus can't think it, see it, if he doesn't see it, think it, or feel it, then you can't. That's righteousness. That's walking, doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. When we surrender to that, we do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Not in your sight, not what I'm trying to figure out. There's a place, I love it in the Psalms, but it sounds like a hard word. It's not. The word judge doesn't always mean like condemn. It just means to discern. Judge me, O God, according to your righteousness. I like that. Not according to my righteousness or my idea of righteousness or what's right, but Lord, judge me, O God, according to your righteousness. Let me show you this scripture. In other words, judge me, O God, according to your wholeness. If you wouldn't do this, think this, desire this, want this? No, I can't either if I'm going to experience wholeness. There's some things the Lord's been showing me lately that are just blowing me away. I don't have really time to talk about that much. I think I will on Sunday, but this is, the Holy Spirit's been like saying, Christians all the time talk about, well, I'm just under warfare. There's a lot of warfare going on. That should be the conversation of the demonic. Like, how's it going, devil? Well, we're under warfare all the time. These Christians, he's the one under assault. But our very language gives him credibility as if, no, we're the ones always under assault. We're much more dangerous to him than he is to us. You're the victorious one. You're the overcomer. He's the loser. He's already lost. But don't you hear that all the time? Christians talk to you about, oh, I'm just a lot of warfare. Well, we know there's warfare going on. There always is. It's a war. But that's our conversation as if that's the big issue. No, the big issue is you're in a war and you're on the winning side. And greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. He's much more threatened by you than you should ever be by him. That's why somebody like Smith Wigglesworth could say that. That time when he woke up in the middle of the night and he saw the devil himself standing at the foot of his bed, and he said, oh, it's just you, and turned around and went back to sleep. That's the right disposition. He's the one in danger. This is Romans 6, verse 12. I'll just start in verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not go on presenting your mortal body. Therefore, do not let sin continue to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its desires. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of warfare of unrighteousness. That's the language there. Weapons of warfare. That's the Greek word. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. You're alive from the dead. You're not that person anymore. And your members as weapons of warfare of righteousness to God. The greatest act of warfare that you can participate in that does the most damage is doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. It just devastates him. And that's why, that's what he goes after. If you're under warfare, he's going after that. that you won't walk out the righteousness of Christ. You won't do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You won't surrender. It's not you're trying to do your best for him, but surrendering to his best for you and his best through you. Because his best through you is his best for you. And when you do damage to the kingdom of darkness. The presence of Christ emanated through our humanity is the most effective, by far, weapon against the powers of darkness. True? Because light coming forth always dispels darkness. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.